You're a farmer or rancher. Your success depends on the weather, which means certain things are out of your control, such as rain, hail, fire, crop failure, and other unforeseen conditions. But you have a business to run. Protect yourself and insure your risk with American Ag Credit, so you can rest easy knowing that we'll be there for you no matter what tomorrow brings. American Ag Credit. Money for agriculture.
Good morning, Napa. It's time for Farmers Fresh Hour. My name is Tia Butts.
And I'm Kara May. Good morning, Napa.
All right. We've got another great show for you today. We want to thank our sponsor, American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture. So, you know, today we're talking all about some treats for pets and people.
Yummy.
You have some pets, right?
I do.
How many?
I am a cat mom of two.
Ooh.
My girlfriend and I, Bailey and I, are foster failures. We have adopted Gus, the orange tabby, and Emmy, the brown tabby, from Jameson Animal Rescue Ranch.
Oh, and they're often at the market.
Not Gus and Emmy, the cats, but
no.
Jameson Animal Rescue Ranch is one of our community partners that joins us at the Napa Farmers Market on Saturdays now.
So. I love that. And so, do they get spoiled? Do they get lots of treats and goodies?
Well, you know, they have very different tastes. Emmy, our cat with issues, first of all, he's missing all of his top teeth, including his fangs. We don't know what that's all about. And he's very interested in meat and pears, the fruit.
Pears?
Yes, very strange.
Wow.
And Gus is a sugar addict. He loves ice cream and anything, and he will get right up on you on your shoulder and try to eat it. So.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we have two dogs,
mm-hmm.
and one of them is also a rescue.
Okay.
And she's getting a little older now, but they were a little freaked out with the rain this morning weather with the lightning
craziness.
And the thunder and the wind. And so everyone had to like cuddle up next to me in bed, like before I got out of bed,
of course.
For comfort.
Yeah.
Though that's not unusual anyway,
yes,
but
that's why we love them. But speaking of rain, we are so happy that it's raining.
Exactly.
And we want folks to remember that we are going to be down at the South Napa Century Center all Saturdays, all year round, from 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. And that's rain or shine, folks.
That's
so
right.
So we actually have some rain survival tips from one of our favorite customers, John from New York.
Hey, John. Shout out to you.
So he recommends Gore-Tex waterproof high-top boots, a waterproof parka, a waterproof large-brim hat, and then two grocery bags and one insulated. So that makes sense because, you don't really want to be carrying around an umbrella and trying to, like, handle your shopping bags when you're at the market.
No, absolutely. Hey, I got on my wellies today, too.
Oh, yeah.
Those are awesome. I'm all ready for those puddles.
Yeah.
But no, those are all great tips,
right.
I think.
I'm a big hat person because I like to keep my face out of the sun, but that's a great tip to have a large brim waterproof hat. So I'm going to do some online shopping after this today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because there is a 50% chance of rain on Saturday.
Okay. So everyone prepare yourselves.
But there's 100% chance that we are going to be there at the Napa Farmers Market.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. And I understand you have a few other announcements too this morning.
That's right. So our Give Guide campaign is going super awesome. So folks that probably know, since you listen and tune in every Thursday to us and follow us on social media.
Award winning, as Greg, our other former host, used to say.
Award-winning, yes. We are award-winning. What the award is for, not sure, but we won it. So we are raising money for our Market Match program, and we are using the awesome support of the Give Guide. So folks can go to NapaValleyGiveGuide.org and find over 40 fabulous local nonprofits and start their giving at $10. But we hope you consider donating to the Napa Farmers Market. And what we're doing is we're raising money for our Market Match program, which doubles CalFresh food dollars.
That's right.
Right. And CalFresh is also known as food stamps. So that is for low-income families and households that need support in buying fresh food. So we love to offer this service to our neighbors in need. And so the good news is, so far, we have raised $1,225.
Woohoo! Oh,
and
my gosh.
Yes.
Bravo. Woo-hoo. That's fantastic.
And that is from 22 very special people that have decided to give us some support. So we have 33 days left. And some other good news is that the last time that we were, the Napa Farmers Market was in the Give Guide, we raised about $1,300 for the whole time. So
love
folks
it.
Still have until December 31st to go to NapaValleyGiveGuide.org and look for Napa Farmers Market to give us your donation. And even better news, I was talking last night with one of the Give Guide folks, and they said that most of the donations come in like right at the end of the year when folks are trying to get their money out, and they probably just forgot it because of the holidays. So we just want folks to know that every dollar helps, and that to give it some perspective, the average debit that a CalFresh customer takes out is $25. So they take out $25 from their CalFresh benefits. They come up to the information booth, and then they actually get $50 to spend on nutritious produce. So that is amazing. So if you donate,
we're doubling their money.
Exactly. If you donate $25 or however much you want to donate, it's going to double the money. So with $25, folks will have $50 to spend. And at the farmer's market, you can, with $50, someone can buy about 3 pounds of seasonal fruit. So maybe persimmons or some citrus. A pound each of eggplant, green beans, other beans, onions, and squash. 2 bunches of kale, 1 head of lettuce, and a dozen eggs.
No, totally. It buys a lot.
It buys a lot.
You come home with a couple of bags full of groceries,
right,
for sure, and it's all really healthy, good quality food.
You know, another way that the Market Match program, it not only supports our low-income families, it supports our farmers.
Absolutely.
And a lot of farmers, you know, they're not big money makers, and they rely on the farmers markets for their income. So not only is it helping our families here, it's helping our farmers too. So
yeah, it's a full circle.
It's a feel good. So check it out at NapaValleyGiveGuide.org and consider helping us out.
Absolutely. We sure would appreciate it. And so would the rest of the community out there that is depending on these benefits. So again, as we said, we're going to be talking about treats for pets and people today. So just to give you an idea who's getting ready to come on the show, we're going to be highlighting a couple of our new vendors at the market. We've got several new vendors.
Yeah, it's so exciting.
Exactly. So it's like another great reason to come down and check out the winter season.
That's right.
So we will be welcoming into the studio today JD's Barkalicious, which is delicious peppermint bark.
Yes.
I mean, who doesn't love that?
It is so good. And
he's
always giving out samples, yet another reason to come to the market, so you can taste before you buy.
I'm kind of hoping he's bringing samples today.
I would hope so. It's going to be a sad day.
We may start talking much more quickly, you know, in a little while. We'll get hopped up on chocolate.
Sugar.
We'll be. And then Waxing Moon Gardens. Which I am just loving her microgreens.
That's right.
At the market. They're really, really beautiful. And microgreens add so much to a dish. I was reading up on them, and I don't know if you knew this, but they're like super, super nutritious. Like,
wow.
I want to say like twice as nutritious as like the normal full grown version of whatever that microgreen is, and there's many varieties.
In a little tiny,
exactly. It's
tiny
like a superfood, exactly. So that's really fun, and we look forward to hearing more about those. But we also have tasty treats at the market for pets, and some of you may have seen these or maybe not. But when we return, we're going to take a quick little music break. And we're going to have Shanna Franklin talk to us about the highly delicious and slightly entertaining, because they come in some fun, unique shapes.
They do.
The Drool Dog Cookies.
Yes.
So hang with us. We'll be back shortly.
As a farmer or rancher, you know that agricultural land is not like other real estate. We know that too. Come see the experts in agriculture, American Ag Credit. Whether you're buying property, building, or making improvements, American Ag Credit is here to help with fixed rates, variable rates, long and short-term loans. Unique solutions tailored to your unique needs. Visit us online at agloan.com. American Ag Credit, money for agriculture.
right. Welcome back to Farmers Fresh Hour. And thank you to our sponsor, American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture. So I understand you are the person behind these unique shaped dog cookies. Some, you know, I've even seen one, dare I say, like in the shape of a poop emoji.
Yes.
I haven't seen that yet. I checked that out.
There's really no other way to say it. It just is a poop emoji.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's
but
a poop emoji.
Welcome, Shanna Franklin.
Thank you.
Yes.
It's
yes.
Nice
drool
here,
dog
guys.
Cookies.
Thank you.
Welcome. Good morning.
So tell us about you. Have you always been making dog cookies? I've never
been making dog cookies until last year. Animals are my people. Like when I was a kid, I was the one collecting stuffed animals and brushing them and feeding them. It was never dolls. It's always been animals. And I wanted to be a vet when I grew up, but I decided it would make me too sad.
Aww.
And yeah, I just,
yeah, it's
I'm
tough.
Very fragile when it comes to animals.
Yeah.
So I chose to get into television reporting and anchoring instead.
Oh my gosh. My background.
Is that right?
Yes.
So I
holy
went,
moly.
You know, kind of a 180 a little bit and did that for about 15 years, not to tell you how old I am, but did that for quite a while. And my husband and I moved to Napa about 7 years ago, and it meant I would have had to have been working in the city, which mm-hmm. is, you know, a 2-hour
yeah,
commute realistically.
Right.
We're very spoiled living in Napa. When you feel like you have to drive like across town, you're like, oh my gosh, there's traffic
across
right.
town.
It took me 15 minutes exactly. instead of 10. What are these three red lights I had to go through? So it's just too much of a lifestyle change. I'd had a really good career and gotten lucky and liked it and had success, and I kind of just followed my soul. And, you know, since it's always been animals, I thought, what can I do that kind of feeds my soul and feeds their soul, so to speak? So somehow it just became dog cookies. And what I really wanted to do is just create a dog cookie that pet parents could feel good about giving their dogs. You know,
sure.
for all the dog mom and dads out there, it seems like you either get healthy or you get cute. And I wanted to see if I could
right.
kind of combine the two. And sometimes cute comes and sometimes it doesn't.
Right.
So
right.
the cute ones go on the market and the other ones get broken up and go in our dog bin. And I just think dog health is really important right now. The healthier we've gotten as people, we, you know, some use the word project that onto our dogs for better or worse. But I just think it's so important. You know, we're so obese as a society these days and
well,
record
there's a lot
numbers.
Of pets that are too, actually.
Exactly. And
yeah.
that's part of the bad projection of ourselves onto our pets. You know,
mm-hmm.
anybody who's seen those eyes looking up at them
mm-hmm.
knows that, all right, mom loves you. Here's a cookie.
That's right.
So I worked with a dog nutritionist for 8 months trying to develop a couple recipes in which every single ingredient is good for dogs.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
And
yeah,
because I'm a chick, I had to throw some frosting on them and make them into poop emoji shapes and things, things like that.
Well, the cookies themselves are so beautiful that when I'm walking around the market putting up the signs for our CalFresh EBT program, which is only for certain vendors, you know, most of them mm-hmm. selling vegetables and fruit or other food that folks can take home, I always have to stop myself because I think they look like you could eat them as a person.
Yes. And actually, I will say on your social media, I've seen several people, including some of the DJs at the sister station here.
Really?
I believe Bob.
Some of those, yes.
He's a big animal advocate for
well,
sure.
I saw him eating the cookie.
Oh,
a
no.
cookie.
Dare I say he enjoyed the poop emoji. And then he moved on
wow.
to the fire hydrant.
Okay.
And I think his words were, if I were camping or stuck on a mountain and I only had these, I could eat these.
That's some high praise. Thank
exactly.
you from Bob Saint Laurent.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And they, so many people stop by and eat them. And normally I try and catch people because I've got, at the farmer's market, I've got a little sample tray
okay.
out there. And sometimes I catch them and sometimes I don't. And the first thing I usually try and say is, it's okay. It's human grade. It's okay. It's okay. The worst
yes.
part is they're a little dry and not quite as sugary as
sure.
we're used to.
Well, it's one of those things where you're looking at it and it looks so beautiful and you taste it and you're like, this doesn't match.
Right. Exactly. This isn't the sweet, delicious yeah. treat that I thought it was going to be. So let's talk about that because
yeah.
I believe there are no grain, corn, soy, meat, or dairy, right?
Correct.
So tell us that process. Like, how are they made? What are the ingredients? And
sure. Like I said, I worked with a dog nutritionist, and I really just wanted to create something healthy. But we all know how healthy gets. It's not always delicious. So that was
right.
always kind of trying
to. It's a human
to...
problem, too.
Exactly.
Yes.
So I really tried to blend those two. And it was important to me to make it palatable for dogs, obviously, but have it be something they can enjoy. Not just, oh, this is edible, this is safe. but make it really good.
Mm-hmm. So did you do like doggy focus groups, like taste testing?
I had a lot of taste testers. Most of them were four-legged. I had quite a few family members and friends say, "Oh, this is really great. You're undertaking this endeavor, but don't ever ask me to try one." And they're now like eating them left and right with their coffee. I have a woman at the farmer's market who comes by once a month, and she buys them. She's from England, and she buys them for her tea. So she has afternoon tea with them.
All right.
And then I have a triathlete who buys them every so often and says they're the perfect combination of things for his training.
Interesting. So they're like digestive biscuits.
Oh, something like that. True. Yes. Yeah. So they're both garbanzo bean based. And for example, a peanut butter banana buckwheat is one of my recipes. It's whole roasted buckwheat, peanut flour, which is defatted, so you get the peanut flavor, but the dogs don't need that extra fat.
Right.
Garbanzo flour, garbanzo beans, banana, peanut butter, blackstrap molasses.
So a lot of good protein in there.
A lot of good protein. Healthy a lot protein. Of fiber. Yes, a lot of trace minerals, and I think that was a CSI term. Sorry, not trace minerals.
Minerals.
Yeah, I think it's actually
forensic files.
Yes, exactly. Real minerals, vitamins, antioxidants. And yes, no meat, no dairy. And I think the really important thing is they're grain-free. There are a couple of camps.
Right.
One thinks grain-free is overrated, that it's something we generate on the dogs.
Sure.
And the others think that it's very, very important. So I think whether you're a parent who thinks your dog might have grain sensitivities, or really there are those cases where a dog is truly grain-free, I wanted to just be able to cover every dog.
Yeah.
So it's corn-free, soy-free, and wheat is the big one. I think a lot of people don't know how bad wheat is for dogs.
Interesting.
And that's because you go in all the big box stores and everything, well, I shouldn't say everything, of course. A lot of treats begin with wheat.
Sure,
it's
readily
available and it's cheap.
Right.
So I think that's one thing that's really great to get out is, you know, if you're feeding your dog something with wheat, don't do it.
Right. Well, that's another wonderful thing about the Napa Farmers Market is not only do we have delicious food for humans, we have them for dogs. And, you know, part of it is knowing where your food comes from, because I know that recently in the news there's been recalls of dog food and treats from China and other, you know, foreign manufacturers. So, and again, like, pets are a huge asset to mental and spiritual health, you know.
Absolutely.
So we want to make sure that our pets are doing well, and what better way than to make sure they have delicious cookies.
Yeah.
So what are some of the top sellers? Like, what are the favorites?
Peanut butter, banana, buckwheat.
Okay.
So
that sounds kind of good.
Yeah,
that's
so good.
Dogs love peanut butter, or their parents think they love peanut butter. It's a little bit of both. So,
or the parents love peanut butter.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, like, there you go.
Some for me, some for you.
I love
peanut
butter too.
Exactly. And almond, coconut, quinoa.
Nice.
Is the second one that I
do.
That
sounds good,
and
too. Okay.
It does.
I think I'm going to have to stop by Drool Dog Cookies and sample some.
Like, I can arrange that.
I'm kind of intrigued now. Yeah, I'm with you, Karame.
Right.
Maybe we should go test them out next time. In addition to being top sellers, how long do your treats last? Like, what's the shelf life?
I started this last year, putting them on the market. And right now we're at 10 months and counting.
Oh, brand
new. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So a lot of people think, if I buy this now, will this hold this till Christmas? Yes, it'll probably hold until Christmas 2019.
but great. That's exactly where I was going with this. So
yes.
Do you have any like special cookie designs planned for the holidays? Like whether it be Hanukkah, which is
Hanukkah's coming up.
Yeah.
We've got all kinds of stuff.
I think the one that I'm most looking forward to, it's the second year I've done it, is personalized Christmas stockings.
Oh, wow.
So I just make the stocking, and then the top part's white, and you can put naughty or nice, or you can put your dog's name. So I think Christmas and Hanukkah are the ones I'm doing.
Yes.
A lot of polar bears, a lot of trees,
winter
a lot
beans.
Of wreaths. Yes.
I saw a really funny pillow on Facebook that my friend's parents got. It said, "Feliz Naughty Dog."
Oh my gosh, that's
cute.
That.
You're welcome.
That's really cute.
Okay, your job right now is to find out where they got it. We all need one.
I love that. How fun. So, describe for people, because we are radio. So if they haven't ever noticed your cookies, which I don't know how, as Karame indicated, I don't know how you could pass by them, because they're so brightly colored and just eye-catching.
Yes, they're very attractive.
Adorable.
Thanks, guys.
But, you know, go take us through, what are some of the shapes and things that are...
I do individual cookies that are about 3.5 to 4 inches. That's the size of the cookie cutter. And then they're just in their own little high-quality cellophane pack. So there's actually some substance to it, so it's not wadding up in a ball. And then it's just got a little label on it that tells you the name of the cookies and all the qualities. And then the back has an information card that just tells you why I started this and all the ingredients and the benefits. And do want to mention for sure that I donate partial proceeds to animals and people in need. So if anybody has a group that they want to bring forward or a personal cause that they want to let me know about, please do that, because I think that's a really important part of what we're all trying to do is give back where we can and make sure it really gets to the people who need it.
That's right.
So I got a little off track there.
No. But what are some of the organizations that you've donated to in the past?
You know, being that I've just started last year, you know how new businesses go. I'm trying to not do one every week or every month because I would be handing them 60 cents.
Right.
So I'm doing them every quarter. And the Napi Humane Society is one that I've done. And then I've done one to a Canine Companions group.
Oh, that's sweet.
Done one to an elderly person who, through a couple of friends, wants to keep her dog but is having a bit of a hard time financially.
Aww.
So there's a vet that's stepping in, and there's a food company that's stepping in, and somebody who's walking the dog. So I'm doing itty-bitty little treats because it's a small dog. So giving them to that person.
Very sweet.
So it's really anything you can imagine. And if anybody has any ideas on shapes they'd like to see, you know, I'd love it. It's from a little dog or a cat or
tennis balls. I was going to say, I would be in big trouble if I got home and I didn't ask you about cat treats. I'm just curious. Do they like the treats?
Because I really wish I had a wonderful answer as to whether cats love them. I have heard anecdotally both things. I've heard plenty of, my cat just looks at it and walks away.
Sure. That sounds like a cat.
That sounds like a cat. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And that's a very catty thing to do.
Yeah. To bats it around, to eats it. And I've heard a couple where people say when the cat eats them, it's this great, like, crunch satisfaction because they really have to work at it with their little mouths not being as big as...
One of my cats doesn't have any top teeth, so he probably wouldn't be enjoying it.
He'd be gumming it.
Yes.
We need to soak this cookie really in some warm water.
Put it in some pear juice.
Applesauce. Yes, exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm always looking for feedback. So, you know, if anybody wants to reach out with shapes they want to see or anything like that.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So how about, so the holidays are coming up, so can people special order your cookies? I cannot talk today.
Yes, they can.
Okay, good. How do they do that?
And this is what I didn't want to say. My website is pending. It's drooldogcookies.com. But Instagram is the best way to do that right now.
All right.
And it's drooldogcookies, or just shoot me an email. It's the very complicated drooldogcookies@gmail.com. And I love to do special orders.
Oh, good. But I always stop by your booth at the farmer's market.
Absolutely.
Right?
And I always say keep it gentle with the custom orders because I said that to somebody once and she came back with, people are going to hate me for this. What is the big machine in Star Wars? The home base machine.
I know what you mean.
I'm thinking Starship Enterprise, yeah. But that's not Star Wars.
It's different altogether.
I know.
It's based off of the cranes in the Oakland, right? I can't remember.
Yeah,
I'm embarrassed to say I don't know it either.
Yeah. The home spaceship.
Sorry, Star Wars
fans. Oh, the Death Star.
The Death Star.
Is that what it is?
Well,
no.
The Death Star is a circle.
Mean.
That's super easy.
Well... It was as complicated as the name that we can't come up with.
Okay.
So I always tell people, if you want a custom design, remember, I've only been doing this for a year, and I have zero background in something like this.
Yeah.
So
we need to hook you up with one of our metalworks artists or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Give me a mushroom or something like that. Don't give me the Death Star.
Yeah. I love it. Awesome. Okay, so Drool Dog Cookies, please check them out at the farmer's market.
Right.
I can't imagine any pooch or even maybe a cat
that
wouldn't enjoy receiving one
or
of these
person.
Cookies in their stocking.
Or
this
a very
season.
Special person might even like it
or
who knows?
Or maybe Bob. Yeah, I mean, maybe his stocking needs a Drool Dog cookie. All right, we're going to take a quick musical break, and then we will be back again with John Danby of JD's Barkalicious. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Barkalicious. All right. Welcome back to Farmer's Fresh Hour. We have John Danby. And while we said JD's Barkalicious, and of course we were just talking to the drool dog cookies, I do want to distinguish that this is a different kind of bark. This is not not for doggies.
Bark, bark.
No, this is... tell us what it is.
But the dog is happy to find something on the floor.
Right.
From making bark.
I'm sure. Yeah.
There's a little bit of association.
Right. So, yes, exactly. No. But this is delicious peppermint bark.
Yes, it is.
Human grade
peppermint bark. Exactly. You know, I was looking up, because I was just curious last night, the origins of peppermint bark. And, you know,
you're probably a step ahead of me if you've gotten into that.
No, I have. And apparently it dates back to at least the 1960s when a Florida shop was offering it for $1.19 a pound.
Wow.
Can you believe that? $1.19 a pound? That tells you know, times have changed, right?
That's right.
How much would a car be back then?
Right.
Yes, exactly. Times have definitely changed. And then, of course, Williams-Sonoma has made peppermint bark very famous as well. But we love that we have someone right here in Napa who is creating it from scratch. Mm-hmm. So what's your background? Have you always been a chocolate maker? Yeah.
Did you grow up dreaming about becoming a peppermint bark
purveyor? Yeah, Willy Wonka dreams?
No, not really. And the interesting thing about you mentioning Williams-Sonoma is that that's how this all started probably 15 years ago. And my wife started it.
Oh, wow.
She got some bark from Williams-Sonoma, and she said, this is interesting. How can we make this? So she started, and of course, you couldn't search as easily on the internet then as you can now, but she was doing searches, and she came up with some stuff for a recipe for bark, and then she decided she wanted to figure out how she could make it thinner.
Oh.
So Trish messed around with it and got it going, and then we got a little 1.5-pound chocolate, home chocolate tempering unit. So we could have the chocolate actually turn out right after it gets melted. And, you know, she started giving it to friends and doing this and that. And, you know, it's like it was hobby-ish because, you know, she had her job. And then after about 3 or 4 years, she got tired of doing it.
And but so still, you somehow got roped into this.
But you guys were already addicted then.
Well, yeah. Even in October, friends were sending notes, are we going to get bark this year? Are we going to get bark this year? So it's okay, fine. So I took it over. And I've changed some things with it and gone a little more larger scale than Trish had. But
clearly.
Because instead of having the little 1.5-pound machine, like 4 years ago, I bought a commercial chocolate temperer, and I can do 10 pounds at a time.
Wow.
So that's what helps me do the quantities.
That's a lot of chocolate.
That is a ton of chocolate. So that was something that, you know, we were wondering, like, how many pounds of peppermint bark do you make on the regular? And then I'm sorry, my phone keeps going off. I need to tell whoever it is to stop calling me.
Don't you know we're on Farmer's Fresh Hour?
I'm on Farmer's Fresh Hour, people. Hey, you out there.
I can't pick up right now.
There should be an app that you can just push a button on that sends a message that says you're on Farmer's Fresh Hour right now.
That's right. It's, you know, obviously the peppermint bark is popular because, you know, the phone's already ringing, right?
Trying to get in on this.
No, but how many pounds of chocolate? Because is yours a combination, you know, of, is it always white and dark chocolate?
Yes.
Okay. And so I have no concept of what it takes to make something in any large quantity like that.
Well, that's why I got the larger machine, because it would take all day to make maybe 10 pounds of bark with a small machine, going through all the process and having to clean everything and this and that. So now I've got the larger machine. I've got separate bowls. When I'm done with the dark, I just put the stuff aside and start the white going, because it takes about an hour, hour and a half to get the chocolate to the point where you can apply it.
Ah, okay.
And start to layer it. So you got one layer of the dark chocolate with peppermint extract in it. And then you have a layer of white chocolate, and you sprinkle the little bits of peppermint on top of that.
It's like peppermint glitter.
I like that. Peppermint glitter.
From setup to the end of cleanup, it takes me 6 hours to make 20 pounds of bark.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing.
And if I had the little machine, it would probably take me 2.5 times that. So
Sure.
There's great opportunity in having a little better scale accommodation, if you
Absolutely.
Will.
Absolutely. And so what kind of chocolate are you using? Is there
Calibo.
Okay.
Calibo.
Mm-hmm. I don't know this chocolate, so tell us about it.
More.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you probably have about 5 different big chocolate manufacturers, and a number of them are for some reason, Belgium is a place for chocolate.
Of course, yes.
And Calibo, as part of the Barry Calibo Chocolate Empire, is a big manufacturer in Belgium. So I've always been using that.
Great.
And when I got the large temper, I put a photo of it on Facebook, and I said, Trish is afraid I'm going to take a second mortgage on the house to get the chocolate. And right then I got a note from Alexis Handelman of ABC. She says, John, come talk to me. I'll get your chocolate for you.
Oh, fantastic.
So ever since then, Alexis has been buying the chocolate, and I just get it from her. So.
Wow. Oh, we love, Alexis.
Yes. Yeah, ABC.
Exactly.
Alexis has been a great mentor with this getting into the whole thing as, you know, a micro business. So
That's fantastic. She's been
great with stuff like that.
So, John, what took it from making, you know, from your family treats to this big machine to getting your foot in the door at the Napa Farmers Market? How did that all come about?
Well, it's all your fault.
Oh, good.
meaning the farmers market
right.
fault. Because to me, peppermint bark is kind of a seasonal thing.
Yes.
Although Alexis is trying to convince me there's other times in the years that I could certainly market it. Like
I would eat it year round.
Sure.
Well, yeah, and I have friends that say the same thing. But like I've got the two Saturdays before Valentine's at the market because that's going to be a cool time.
Yeah,
smart.
Exactly.
But I never really gave that much consideration to it until I saw that the farmer's market was going to go year round. I said, ah-ha-ho.
Uh-huh.
It's all happening.
Peppermint bark right before Christmas.
Yeah.
Bada bing. That was perfect.
Exactly.
So then I went through the great fun of getting all the permits.
Yes.
So, which is a process.
Well, I had to have my cottage food operation permit so I could make it at home. But along with that, I had to have my fictitious business name permit and have that all published in the paper.
Wow.
There's all these things you have to go just to do that. I still don't have my business license tax permit from Napa. They say, yeah, we're working on it. You're fine.
The city of Napa?
It's a
no
process.
Comment.
It's a process. Well, okay, so I'm going to like cut right to the chase because you walked in with a bag.
Yeah,
and
seriously.
There's people watching us on Facebook Live right now, and I'm sure, you know, they're drooling I am, wondering what's in the bag.
I should have turned it around with my bark sticker on it.
So, yeah, do we get to taste test? Like, show us what you've got here.
Do we get to taste test?
Well, this was part of the deal. You know, it comes across, you know, after you contacted me.
Look at that beautiful box.
You said,
show everybody that box.
So, for the folks at home who are listening in, it's a beautiful white box with a see-through snowflake on the top. And it looks like there's a bunch of little tiny boxes inside of peppermint bark. Is that right?
This is what... Okay, so we can blame this. Since there has to be blame distributed, this is Charlotte's fault.
Oh, okay. Very cool. Charlotte, our market manager.
Yes, because I used to do three different sizes. I'd have a large size to give to a family or something because I got this cool place in the Midwest I buy boxes from. And then I'd have the one that you see out there at the half-pound box. And then I have these small boxes which hold 3 ounces. And Alexa says, focus on one box first when you're out there to do this. Let's go with this half-pound box. That's really a nice little thing to do. So I did that at the first market that I was at 2 weeks ago. And Charlotte came by and said, you know, I think people would be thinking about stocking stuffers, like a smaller box.
Exactly, exactly.
Let's be real. Stockings are the best part of Christmas.
Oh,
okay.
Yes, absolutely.
No question. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I mentioned Alexis's comment to her. She said, I can see that. And, you know, Alexis has been doing things a long time, but I've seen the market a lot, too, and I kind of got a feel for what people are looking for.
Right.
So I mulled that over, and I went home and told my wife about it. I said, I've got an idea. So I went on the box place that I sourced from, and they had... Absolutely right. It's a snowflake box. And I saw that.
Perfect.
That's
adorable.
Ooh.
It is adorable.
And since it was like Thanksgiving weekend and stuff, I had to pay express rates to get the boxes in time. And so then inside this box,
oh my gosh.
For our friends at home,
have
4 3-ounce boxes of bark. I call it the stocking stuffer bark, the hostess hostess gifts.
It's like 2-in-1. So either you bring the whole box to share, right? Or you can use them as individual gifts.
Exactly.
Or you have a little party and you put one. Someone's saying, I want to put one at each place at a dinner table or something like that. So, and I put 24 of these together last week, and at 12:30, I sold number 24. They all went.
Yay!
So,
good job, Napa Farmers Market customers.
Yay! Yeah, it was great. So now, got more boxes coming in tomorrow. I just started making some more bark this morning, so I'll
That's
have
fantastic.
Another bunch of these boxes as well as the half-pound boxes, which are still doing a nice little job on their own. So
yeah.
Well, and the last thing I'll say about boxes before we get to tasting, because that's the most important part, is they're just, it's so beautiful because it's like very inviting because it's not just, you know, the white box. You can see inside. So you can see the little window through the snowflake. And then in the tiny boxes, there's circle windows. So I think it just looks amazing.
And at my stall.
But I think we should open them now.
I think we should. Are we rushing you?
I think we're just
very anxious to try them.
Well, since it's part of the terms and conditions of coming onto the radio.
Exactly. It's the tax you pay, I guess, to be here. Okay,
but,
so...
But at my stall, I have one of these open so people can see what the contents are of the nice little closed-up box with the seal on it. So
give people an idea. Let's recap again. So what are the sizes and what are the prices and what's available?
I've got the regular box out in the car. I didn't bring it in. But it's a half-pound box, and that goes for $15.
Great, great.
And then this box here is $30.
Okay.
For four 3-ounce boxes.
Great,
so
perfect.
So those are the two
Those are the
styles
two
that
options.
I have.
Fantastic. Wonderful.
I better get this to you before you
reach there we go. Yes. Now Tia can calm down.
Now I can concentrate because I'm going to get some chocolate. This will be much better.
First, you got to get past the seal.
I know. I'm seeing that. You're making this really difficult here, John. I don't know.
You know, if you just
Okay, here we go. I've got
sharp.
It open, people.
Oh, you opened
I have it,
it from
open.
The bottom, from the side. Very good.
It is super, super thin. I'm just going to say that. It's really thin and very delicate. And even the little peppermint pieces on top are very finely crushed, I guess you would say, which I'm assuming is going to give me a lot of peppermint flavor throughout. So here we go.
Okay.
I don't know if you can hear that crunch. Mmm. Oh, my gosh. The chocolate's creamy. Really delicious. It's got great minty, delicate flavor throughout. Oh, it's just yummy.
Thank you.
I don't know how anyone could go wrong.
Well, the reason my wife liked the thinner is when you get the regular stuff, not that it's bad, it's just different. They they use good quality stuff, particularly the Williams-Sonoma and others. But you get such a big, and I use the technical term glop. You get this glop of chocolate in your mouth.
Right.
With a little bit of peppermint kind of behind it. With this, the peppermint kind of shines and the chocolate follows up nicely with it. So that's
Absolutely.
Why we like doing it that way.
Absolutely. Well,
and that, and if you have the thinner stuff, a box lasts a longer time unless you're just...
Sure.
Like Karame that's going to eat the whole thing before we finish here.
Like kidding. Both of us that are just sitting here, we're just going to munch on this. This is breakfast right now. This is really wonderful. And we are certainly happy to have you joining us at the Farmers Market as a new vendor. So we wish you all the best, John. And I hope everybody will come by and check out your stand.
Right.
And again,
reminder to our listeners, he has free samples. So you can
That's
taste
right.
before you buy the deliciousness.
Great stocking stuffers.
I give out so many samples.
I bet you do.
Well, it's a new booth, so that's how you get people's attention. So I'm out there handing out samples all the time.
That's right. And can people find you online or anywhere
right
now?
I do not have an online presence. I'm limited in what I can do with my cottage food operation. I can't ship. It's really from me to the next person.
Yes.
But they can follow you on Facebook.
They can follow me on Facebook.
Perfect.
JD's Barkalicious.
They can always send a query to me that way.
Perfect.
And see what I can do. And, you know, it's just like, you never know how it's going to come around. I go to the dentist the other day. I always gift them some bark. The next thing I knew, I had an email from the other dentist's office that wanted 25 boxes to give to various dentists in their area.
That is really funny. You're going to the dentist and bringing
and
the candy.
Well, I was going to post it on it. Make sure you brush after you eat this.
Oh, okay.
So. That's fantastic. Well, thank you again so much, John. We really appreciate you being here. And we'll see you at the market.
See you on Saturday.
Very good. Thank you for having
All
me.
All right. And shortly, we will be back with Jackie Cohen. She is the proprietor and head gardener of Waxing Moon Gardens. Stay tuned.
You're a farmer or rancher. Your success depends on the weather, which means certain things are out of your control. Such as rain, hail, fire, crop failure, and other unforeseen conditions. But you have a business to run. Protect yourself and insure your risk with American Ag Credit, so you can rest easy knowing that we'll be there for you no matter what tomorrow brings. American Ag Credit. Money for agriculture.
Ain't no power in this land that can ever, ever take you from my hand. That can ever, ever take you from my hand. Ain't no obstacle in front of me strong enough to bend or break me. Strong enough to bend or break me. I am unbreakable.
All right. Welcome back, everyone, to Farmers Fresh Hour, brought to you by American Ag Credit.
Money for agriculture.
That's right. We love American Ag Credit. So I just want to give a shout out, too, to the music we've been playing in between the breaks, and a thank you as well to the sister station, KVYN, because they are responsible for making sure that the music continues.
That's
at the
right.
market.
We are so appreciative of that. Having live music every Saturday and Tuesdays when we were rocking then is just a wonderful addition to the market and makes it so lively and fun.
Absolutely. And so you heard The Season of Us. They were the first song we played. They're one of our regulars at the market. The second song was from Bruno Grassi. Also another regular. And then this last song was from a band called Run With Patience, which was appeared at the market earlier this season. But there's
That's
a
right.
lot of other artists as well. So I hope you are enjoying the music. And now we've gone from dog treats to
people treats.
And now we're going to healthy treats.
That's right.
And nutritious treats.
And flavorful.
And flavorful and nutrient dense,
yeah.
I guess we'll say. So we have microgreens. Welcome, Jackie.
Thank you.
And Waxing Moon Gardens. I was just kind of curious. Do you do lunar gardening, planting by the phases of the moon?
You know, I did when I started out doing farmers markets and growing seed starts. I just thought, I'm just going to grow heirloom seed starts for people to plant in their gardens and see how that goes. And then that moved into a friend offering me a piece of land to farm so that I could plant those seed starts. So I did that, and I was trying to plant by the moon, yes. And
wow,
that
yeah.
it was a bit of a struggle, but I just love that philosophy, and it seemed to work. Although I'm not a great farmer, and I wanted to...
Real talk on Farmers Fresh
yeah.
Hour.
I really wanted to participate in the farmers market. I love doing it, and I love being around the people and the conversations and engaging with people that I wouldn't otherwise normally engage with.
And that's it. That's the community, right?
Yeah.
We always talk about that, and it's a
lovely.
Real thing.
It is.
You know?
It really is. And we all should be talking to each other in that
yes.
way, where there's just no conflict, and we're just flowing with each other and learning from each other and sharing ideas and nutritional food and
yeah.
and how we grow our food. A lot of people, even though they come to the farmer's market, I'm getting off topic here.
No,
but
no, no, right. you're not. You're totally
one of my
on
goals
point.
Is that I love to talk to people about how food is grown and
sure.
and what effort goes into it. And it's really, it's huge for people to be bringing this beautiful produce to the community this way.
That's right.
And so I really love being a part of that. And like I said, I'm just not good enough to farm.
Oh my gosh.
The way that the other farmers around me do.
I think maybe you're being too humble.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're just amazing farmers in this area. So
yes,
very
blessed.
Yeah, we really
for
are.
Sure.
It's really impressive. And yeah. so in order to continue being part of the farmers market and make some sort of impact, I thought I got involved with microgreens. And as soon as I started doing it, I just developed this incredible passion for them. The more I learned about them and the more I tasted different things, and just it's really I've learned and grown so much just from this
learning.
From this
learning.
That's
new
wonderful.
Adventure.
Okay, so I'm going to go back to your name, Waxing Moon Gardens, again, yeah. just because we were talking about that. And I was looking that up because I couldn't remember what a waxing moon was.
Yeah.
And apparently it's the one, it's midway between a new and a full moon. Right. And it means that increasing. So the moon appears to get bigger each night because the sun and the moon are moving from a close position to a far away position,
right.
you know, or whatever. But there's something to do with planting during a waxing moon, though, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of energy that comes from it. Different phases of the moon offer different things to different parts of farming. Like you can plant seeds at certain times, and then they'll get – there's like times when you plant things for root action and
right.
things, times when you
wow.
plant things for leafy action. And so it – and most of it happens during the waxing moon. So it's –
That's so it's very the time where the seeds thrive.
Yeah.
And they come to life.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So you brought some beautiful microgreens into the studio today.
Right.
And what are these here?
Those are, it's a cilantro box. And I plant now, I'm doing a combination of things. I'm planting large trays so that I can cut for people as they come. And, you know, if they just want to take home a bag of cut greens. And I'm also doing a blend of different things with some flowers. So they're very beautiful blends that
yes,
you can buy.
That's one eye-catching, gorgeous feature of
yeah.
your stand is the, I mean, they're so cute and adorable. And then the pop of color with the flowers is really enticing.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's a great time of year for edible flowers as well, because the Johnny Jump-Ups, the violas, and the pansies, they love this weather, and as well as calendula. And
ooh,
so
yeah.
I'm really starting to get more and more into edible flowers and adding those into my blend. And then I'm hopefully going to be able to grow enough that I can offer just people edible flowers that they
well,
can
they,
buy.
They just very transform nice. A dish, don't they? Like
they
you said,
really
they're so
do.
You know, you see edible flowers in a salad, and it just transforms it into
yeah.
something, you know, kind of normal to just amazing.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like, really
and, really
and
makes it beautiful.
Just so exciting to eat when it looks like that. You know, bright oranges and blues and purples and things like that. So, and then I've also started doing this composting box, which I love.
I love that too.
Yeah. So, it's a recycled paper fiber pot, and it can go into your compost. They're also super sturdy, so you can find another use for them, or you can bring them back to me and I can replant them. So,
wow,
very
yeah.
fantastic.
I'm not interested in putting any more plastic out in the world, and my whole goal is to be a zero waste business.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Yeah. That's yeah. it. The only thing that I have that I buy coconut core as my soil. It's not a soil. It's just a shaved coconut. And so that's all natural. And the only thing is that comes in a plastic bag.
Wow.
Can't avoid that.
So this is cilantro. I'm going to taste this while you're talking. But tell
do.
Us, what are all the other varieties that you produce? What's available at the market?
I'm doing a beautiful sango radish, which is this gorgeous purpley color, and they've got a really nice bite to them. And then I also do a daikon radish, which is even more spicy, and that's just a green leaf, also super pretty. And I'm doing leeks, which are very oniony, and when they bloom, they come with their little seed head on top, so they're just like this gorgeous spiky green with this little black seed, and they're really pretty. So I mean, there's so much beauty and texture, and there's a combination of things that make these things so spectacular.
Well, you
so,
mentioned texture,
yeah.
And actually, that's something I've never thought about with microgreens. But as I tried these, there's a nice crunch, right? Because
sure.
are you getting cilantro seed?
So
in
you're getting still? A coriander seed. So you get
oh.
the two flavors mixed there, and it's really fun to. These will pop off eventually as the leaf opens, the seed will pop off, but sometimes some are left, and it's really fun to find them randomly in your salad or whatever it is that you're using them on. I mean, you can put
yeah.
them on tacos.
Wow, that is a flavor adventure.
Isn't it?
Sure.
It's like super intense.
Yeah. It almost has, and this is not to sound negative, but it's almost perfumey, but not in
yes.
a like chemical way, just so intense and deep flavors.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They're incredibly vibrant at this phase. So just before their first true leaves come, or as their true leaves are coming, they're just so impactful, both nutritionally and flavor-wise.
Well, maybe we should back up, though, and tell people what microgreens really are. I
sure.
mean, maybe many of you out there know, but I mean, it's not its own you know, thing necessarily. It's just they're babies, right?
People seem, so a lot of people approach my booth a little confused. So it's kind of fun to explain that it's really, I lay down a lot of seed just so that they're fairly tight together. But, and then what it is the first push of that seed. So it's the baby plant. And if you were, if they were allowed to continue to grow, for instance, broccoli, it would become a huge broccoli plant. Mm. So for, this is, you know, a, like a 3x3 box, and you could sit down and eat this amount of broccoli, microgreens, or you could sit all day and eat the grown broccoli and get the same nutritional value.
Wow.
Yeah.
Incredible.
And broccoli is full of amazing, amazing nutrient value. It stops cells from turning malignant. Mm-hmm. And people should look up, do their own research on this, but that, just so that they know that they're confident in what they know. But there's incredible value in eating plants at this size. And you can just reach for them in any, for anything. You can put them on sandwiches, on burgers, grilled fish.
Ooh,
you know, just throw them in a salad. They can be the salad. I just eat bowls of them now that I have them around me all the time.
And once you take them home, what's the best way to store them or use them? Do they have, you know, a shelf life? Because they are so fresh, you know, you certainly wouldn't want to take them home and then have them, you know, wilt or something.
Right. Yeah, this is a great question, because one of the reasons that I wanted to do this pot and have people take them home alive is because oftentimes you'll buy microgreens and you don't get them through them fast enough, and it's kind of an expensive waste if they get to wilt and then you don't get to use them in time. So this way you can cut them as you need them, and then you're getting the most vibrancy from the plant because they're just freshly cut. They can sit right on your kitchen counter. They don't necessarily need any light. They've already photosynthesized, and by the time you finish eating them, they'll be just, you can set them in water. They have great drainage, and they like to drink from the bottom. They don't want to be watered from the top.
Wow.
And it's pretty easy to take care of. I haven't had anybody come and complain about them not making it, or
right.
So we'll see.
Well, they're amazingly delicious, and
seriously, I was, you know, not to, because what they look like for folks that are listening, they kind of look like, you know, bean sprouts a little bit, and
yes,
those are not the tastiest things I can think of. And so just the amount of flavor and apparently nutrition, it's a wonderful combo.
Yeah.
Well, and I think we have our, you know, microgreens have really become a thing now, but we really have our fine chefs out there to thank for this, because I think
absolutely,
they really started this trend, you know, in the fine restaurants, you know, taking these little flavor packed, you know, bits of greens and putting them on various dishes. And then people got interested and curious about it. And now, thankfully, we all have access to them, which is great. So thank you so much for pursuing this passion.
Yeah. Oh, it's so much fun. I'm totally addicted.
Yeah. And just like our other guests with Drool Dog Cookies and JD's Barkalicious, we're so happy to have Waxing Moons as a small business, as a newer business at the market. It's what keeps us vibrant and fresh, and you know, we appreciate it from the staff and the board and the customers too. They really love the new things, and it always keeps it exciting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, we thank you again for coming in and telling us more. We'll have to have you back another time, because you had a lot of great information to share.
Oh,
but as always, Farmer's Fresh Hour just flies by. And so we're going to go to a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up for everybody and let you know what's coming up at the market this Saturday. And please go check out the microgreens at Waxing Moon Gardens.
Thanks for having me, ladies.
Thanks,
absolutely,
Jackie.
Thanks for
being
at the market.
Yes.
All right. Sounds great.
As a farmer or rancher, you know that agricultural land is not like other real estate. We know that too. Come see the experts in agriculture, American Ag Credit. Whether you're buying property, building, or making improvements, American Ag Credit is here to help with fixed rates, variable rates, long and short-term loans. Unique solutions tailored to your unique needs. Visit us online at agloan.com. American Ag Credit, money for agriculture. We'll be right back.
right. All right. Karen May was telling me she's got jokes lined up for us. So I am super ready for this. Again, happy Hanukkah. I feel like we should be playing the Saturday Night Live, you know, Adam Sandler song.
So since Hanukkah is coming up, I have a couple jokes. So how can you recognize a Hanukkah hippie?
Ooh, I have no idea.
He's the one with hair in dreidel locks.
Oh, my goodness. I love it.
Okay. One more. What do you call a speck that lands in the latke pan?
I have no idea.
An unidentified frying object.
Oh, my God. You are a latke fun.
No. So speaking of latkes, my favorite Hanukkah food, we've got all that you need at the market on Saturday for your latkes. We've got eggs, potatoes, and onions.
Yes.
And my friend Rebecca, who's a chef with the Culinary Institute, and she said that simez is a traditional dish where you can take roasted carrots and cut them into coin shapes to resemble the gelt, which is the money given during the dreidel game. And carrots is another option, obviously.
Ooh,
at the market.
That's a good healthy option for kids,
because
the dreidel game is obviously popular with children. Usually done with children. But, you know, we shared on our Twitter feed as well a link to some great alternative potato latke recipes. So, you know, versions with like zucchini or butternut squash or other things. So definitely check that out. But also, in terms of this Saturday, what do we have for kids activities really quick?
So as folks probably know, we are in our winter market season. And for that, we are going down to one story time a market. So that's going to be at 10:30 only. We'll have guest readers reading wonderful stories. And the tasting item is going to be tangerines.
Oh, yum. Love tangerines.
Tart and delicious.
Excellent. Okay, great. And then really quick, music on the stage will be performed by a first-time market performer, Javier Caballero. I hope I've said that correctly.
That was very good, Tia.
Okay, good. Well, we look forward to that. Unfortunately, it's time for us to say goodbye.
So sad.
I know, so sad. But we'll be back next week. We have a few more of these shows left.
That's right.
And so we hope to see you at the market.
That's right. See you at the market.
You're a farmer or rancher. Your success depends on the weather, which means certain things are out of your control, such as rain, hail, fire, crop failure, and other unforeseen conditions. But you have a business to run. Protect yourself and insure your risk with American Ag Credit, so you can rest easy knowing that we'll be there for you no matter what tomorrow brings. American Ag Credit. Money for agriculture.